Trinity folks up here.
116.
Call me.
Getting ready, gonna break between the second and third.
Yeah. Letter fly.
116. All three.
Thank you.
good old red back songs, man. Can't beat those things. Been singing those ever since I got saved back in 1942. No, I was born in 43. It couldn't have been 42, could it? Seems like 1,500 years ago. Now I'm getting worse. But anyway, those songs are good stuff. And we like, the reason I like to sing out of this old red book, you can just let her fly. Yeah, you don't have to do anything but just sing. I remember those days at Trinity when all they did was sing. You all still do that, don't you?
A lot.
A lot. A lot. Brother James and his wife are going to share a song or two with us here in just a little bit before he preaches. But it's so good to see you tonight. And hope that a few more will come in here in a few minutes. We're not used to this on a weekday, you know, coming in. And maybe some folks think that it's 7 o'clock since that's what some churches do. We don't. We're different. And we're going to be different, right? But it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It really is. I want you to welcome Brother James and his wife and the kids. Where's my card? My secretary here's a little behind. Oh, okay. We'll get the names here in a minute. I don't want to leave my kids out, man. I got my associate pastor right here on this end. He's going to preach after James preaches, aren't you? Well, he's not sure right now if he's going to or not. But, son, he's ready to. Oh, here they are. Oh, James and Hannah. But the children are Melody. Now, when I call your name, y'all raise a hand or stand up or something, okay? And where's Melody? Oh, Melody. Is this all you do? Okay, Melody, here we go. Way up here. Oh, way up, honey, way up. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, where's Jimmy? Jimmy, good to see you, Jimmy. Molly? There's Molly, that little hand way up in the air. Where's Zach? Hello, Zach. Opie Zach. Okay, he's got more to add to it. Gotta watch those Opies. Okay, where's Tucker? Oh, that was a good stretch there, Tucker. Are you sitting or standing? Sitting. It's good to have y'all with us tonight. So happy to have you. And we're here to worship, folks. That's what we're here for. We're here for God to touch our hearts and revive us to a place to where we can go out and touch other lives next week and just maybe win somebody to the Lord or get somebody who has strayed back where they need to be and just fire our own selves up. We all need it. We've been preached to already twice, and both messages were in that direction. So let's do that. And by the way, and just in case you want to know, I've already been preparing my Sunday morning message, and it's going the same way. That's right. As for me, didn't Brother Wesley go that route? It's me, you know, I'm the one. And Dave, it's me. We need to see that. It's not about other people getting revived. It's me getting revived. Yeah. And if I get revived, I can be something to somebody else. Otherwise, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to preach, James. No. So good to have you tonight. And tomorrow evening, Brother Tim Broyles will be here, and then Wednesday we got Todd McLaughlin from Unicoi, and got a little special thing for you there. How many of y'all have heard No Name But His? Any of y'all heard No Name But His sing? Well, you're going to Wednesday night when Brother Todd preaches. You're going to. James, I'm just going to let you start, son. You and your wife just, if you want to start with a couple songs, go right ahead, and then you come on, get ready to preach. I like this boy. I call him boy because he's younger than my grandkids. No, the first time I ever heard him, I said, boy, God bless that man. I wish that I had been blessed as much as he has. Well, in some ways, I probably have. I've had more years of blessings anyway. I know that. But let's pray for Brother James and Hannah and then Brother James as he preaches.
Thank you. God. This is Dan Foster. Oh, that one. You've already done that. All right. Well, first of all, let me say it's a privilege to be with you tonight. Appreciate the invite to come and worship. And that's what we want to do. We just want to worship the Lord tonight. Amen. I think I said at the association meeting, I wanted everyone to leave saying, "Oh, what a Savior," not "Oh, what a sermon." You probably won't leave saying, "Oh, what a sermon," but you can leave saying, "Oh, what a Savior."
Amen.
But on up here, I've got on the far end my youngest daughter, Molly. She's named after my grandmother on my mother's side, and she is every bit her personality. That is the most independent child I've ever met in my life. Stubborn, hard-headed, but she is as sweet as candy. And we love her. My wife, Hannah, we've been married 10 years, October the 30th. And God has really blessed our marriage. We've been a lot of places and done a lot of things. And she's put up with a lot. And I don't think I can say the same, but bless her heart, she's put up with me. So that's enough. But I appreciate the Lord putting us together. And her heart, she loves these children. And what we do with family ministries is probably 99% mama and 1% dad, but she has a heart and a love for these children, and I thank God for that. We've got little Tucker here. Tucker comes to us through Free Will Baptist Family Ministries all the way from the big city of Knoxville, Tennessee, and we're proud to have him. We've had him so long now, he's just one of us, and he's going to be going home soon. His mom and dad have really put in the hard work, and they're going to be getting him back here pretty soon. So that's going to be bittersweet. Sweet for him and tough for us. We just lost two babies. Their parents came from the Congo. They don't speak a lick of English. They speak Swahili. And God bless their hearts, them children. They're black as the ace of spades. And I told everyone they looked just like me. But we loved those girls. One was 8 months old and the other was 2 years old. And they were precious. And they came to get them because they've got four siblings, and they found a home willing to take all six of them. And we just couldn't take six. So that was good and bad. And when the caseworker loaded them up in the car, I said, "Ma'am, this was hard. So bring them back for respite. Bring them back for holidays. Bring them back on the weekend. Just bring them back." She said, "I'll do that." I said, "And if it doesn't work out, bring them back." Then my oldest daughter, number one, is Melody here with that great long hair. She could have been Rapunzel. And she will not let you cut it. She loves her hair. That's not a religious thing. She just loves to have it. But she's a beautiful girl. She was our first child. We had her while we were at Bible college when it was in Nashville. We were pastoring in Charlotte, Tennessee. And we had been trying for about 2 years to have a child. And we had given up. I was on the radio in Dixon, and we pastored full-time and went to school full-time, and I said, "Well, let's just preach and school and sleep and pray and forget about kids." And then, boom! As soon as we quit trying, why, that's when it all worked out, and we had Melody. We named her Melody, by the way. I had a fantastic guitar picker in that church, and her and myself led the music. And every time we would get together and go to picking and playing, she would go to kicking and jumping and moving and dancing. And I said, "This child loves music. Let's name her something musical." And everyone give us all kind of crazy ideas about what to name her and everything. And finally, one day, we've come up with the name Melody. And it stuck. We love Melody. Then I've got good old Zach here, or Zach, Opie, or Bob. He's Bob at Scouts. We chartered a Cub Scout organization out of our church in Irwin. We're the only Cub Scouts in Unicoi County, and they call him Bob. His paperwork, his birth certificate, says his name is Zachary. I call him Opie. He's a good boy, though. We appreciate him. Where do you come from?
Knoxville.
Okay, Knoxville. None of us have any idea where Varnor, Tennessee is. I've never. You do. Where is it? Okay, well, he. Anyway, he come from near about Knoxville. So, but we've had him for about, what, two or three months, something like that. He's a good boy. We love him. We're glad to have him. Bless his heart. He stuck with me for now, and so he better just make the best of it.
And he can sing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. You ought to see him in our children's choir on Sundays. That boy will blast the microphone out. He gives 110%. He sings by letter. Open up and let her fly. And finally I've got my son here, Jimmy. Jimmy and his Batman tie. I believe Jimmy will be our upcoming preacher. He loves the Lord. He loves to pray for people. He loves to spread the gospel at his young age. He's not, how old are you, son? 13, 14? Seven. At the ripe old age of 7 years old, that boy loves the Lord. He's good. He's a cowboy. He's a dandy. We like him. He's all right.
He's a cowboy. I'm the Indian.
Okay. I thought Tucker was the Indian. I've got to get my facts straight here. We had to come to Liberty Fellowship for me to get my facts straight. But we're coming all the way from the big town of Irwin, Tennessee, from Trinity Free Will Baptist Church. I'm originally from Northwest Florida, and no, that's not Miami or Orlando. It's pretty much Lower Alabama. You can be in Mobile, where we're from, in a matter of 30 minutes, 45 minutes. You can be in Mississippi in just a couple of hours. We're from the middle of nowhere. If I told you where, you'd never heard of it, not even David Foster. My wife was born in Southern Illinois. Her father's a Free Will Baptist pastor, and so they've moved around a good bit in their life. And the Lord brought our paths together at Union Grove Free Will Baptist Church in Cedar Creek, Alabama. You've never heard of that because it's in the middle of nowhere. And most of the things that's happened to us over the course of our life have happened in the middle of nowhere. Because most of our Free Will Baptist churches are, you guessed it, in the middle of nowhere. Trinity and Liberty Fellowship are fortunate to be in town. As a matter of fact, I'll say this and then I'll shut up and preach. We thought Irwin was New York City when we moved up here. Where I come from, when someone drives down the road, you say, who was that? When you see a sheriff's deputy come through, you start calling people wanting to know who's in trouble. When an ambulance comes by, you start calling people, Bill, are you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. It passed me. Well, I better call Marcy and see if Marcy's all right. Yeah, I'm okay, preacher. But they went on past my house and turned down Ashcraft Road. Well, let me call Earl. Earl, y'all all right down there? After you make about four or five phone calls, you found out where the ambulance went to. Ambulance. Yeah, and I'm like Phil Robertson. Where I come from, I am 911. Amen. When we first moved here, we were so used to living in the country, my son had just learned to use the bathroom. And where we live, we didn't have neighbors. We had coyotes and snakes and bears and coons and woods. Well, Jimmy got used to daddy's out in the shop or daddy's out in the garden, or why, if I've got to go, I'm just going to go. I ain't going all the way back yonder to the house. The house is in the front 40. We're in the back 40. I'm going to the bathroom. Well, we live on Prince Avenue in the big town of Irwin. And I could throw a rock at all my neighbors and hit somebody like Ernest T. Bass. And so when we moved in, what, that day, I believe it was that day, he embarrassed my sweet little wife so bad. We was unloading and packing things, and so a lot of the men from the church had come to help us, and we got all that stuff out, what little bit we had, real quick, and had so much help. Well, they helped us, and then they went on and said, we'll leave you alone, preacher, and let you unpack. And my son goes out in the front yard. He drops his britches and pees right on my dogwood tree. Right in front of God and everyone. And my wife about lost it. And no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I said, don't holler at my boy. He don't know no better. He ain't used to living in this city. We've come a long way. Hey, Lord. So anyway, is that enough? Is that sufficient?
That's good. That's good.
He said he wouldn't pay me if I didn't do that. So, amen. I'm just glad he paid Wesley to come and hear me preach tonight. Amen. I want to ask you to take your Bibles tonight then to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. And when you're with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Let's look together in verse 1, please. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven.
Amen.
A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Father, bless your word tonight, the preaching and the hearing of it. Anoint our hearts and minds, God, to receive what you'd speak to us. Use us tonight for thy glory and honor. God, of the things that I would mention to the church tonight, Lord, to encourage us in the things which are and the things which are coming, I pray, God, that you would help us, equip us, that we might be able to reach the lost with the gospel. And Father, if there be someone who's here tonight or who's joining us live online who is lost, I pray you minister conviction to their heart before it's everlasting too late, that they might turn to thee in faith and repentance. Through Jesus we ask. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you tonight about the time of judgment. There's a time for all things. The Bible says a season and a time. The Bible tells us that there is a time to live and die, a time to rejoice and to cry, a time to get and a time to lose. And of all the getting that we have today, of all the knowledge that men crave, of all the money that men grab for, of all the things of this life that people are in search of, men go on day after day, not considering that there is also a time of judgment. When someone has something bad happen to him, we don't like that person. We say, well, he had that one coming. When something happens to someone, they say, well, the Lord knew it was meant to happen. It's just time for that to happen. When someone dies, we say it was just their time. And when things happen successfully to people, we say, well, it was just their time. I want to tell you something about time tonight, church. Time of judgment is soon coming. I'm not here to tear you down. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to make you mad. I'm here to give you some ammunition. I want to equip us tonight in revival. You say, preacher, we don't want to have a salvation message. We want to be revived and encouraged. I'll tell you tonight, there's nothing more encouraging to me than to know that my heart and life is right with Jesus Christ, and that when judgment comes, the blood will be upon my sin and my past. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the word of God says, as once it is appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. There's a time of judgment. And people all over the world are living by a schedule tonight. Did you know that? All over the world, men are living by calendars and clocks and watches and planners and alarms and reminders. I've got so to where if I don't put that in my phone, I won't remember where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to be doing. Brother Barry Simpson was with us last night, and he heard me say, I'll forget in 2 feet. I didn't say 2 minutes. I said 2 feet. I'll forget in 2 feet what I'm supposed to do, and I've started putting everything I've got to do in my phone. When you wear as many hats as I do, and I've got a big hat collection, you begin to forget things. And some people say the older you get, the worse it becomes. My goodness alive, I was kind of hoping, as forgetful as I am today, maybe when I got older, I'd be sharp. You don't look very hopeful. I don't like the expressions I'm getting on that one. Let's move right along. Hey, I'll tell you something. Tie a knot around your finger tonight, because judgment is coming. People live and get ready. They have a schedule. They have a fun schedule. You have a work schedule. You have a health schedule. Doctors, pharmacies, therapy, hospitals. We have a church schedule. We have Sunday schools and programs, VBS and CTS. We have worship. We have revival meetings, association meetings, conventions. We have all kinds of schedules. We have relationship schedules. People go on dates. Sometimes people get together, and we get together on Mondays, the preachers do, and it's a scheduled event. 10 o'clock, we go around 10 o'clock. Some of them comes when they feel like it. Amen. You tell me 10 o'clock, I'm going to be there at quarter till, 30 minutes till, hour early. And I learned at the preacher's meeting, you don't do that. There won't be nobody there. You come at 10 o'clock. We live by schedule. We have medication schedules. I used to not have to take any medication. I have to take medication. I was aggravating children on my bus one day. I drive a school bus for Unicoi County. And I said, I wish y'all would take your meds. They were really getting on my nerves. And one smart aleck child said, I wish you'd take your meds. I said, son, you better hope I take my meds. Sometimes I wonder what these children tell their parents and why I'm still living, I don't know. But we have these medication schedules. The doctor started putting me on medication, and I said, I'll never figure this out. I'm going to end up killing myself. And so my darling wife said, well, honey, I'll buy you one of those things that has a PM and an AM, and it's color-coded, and it has the day written on it. And she brought it to me, and she said, you take this one when you get up, and you take this one when you go to bed. And I said, what about the one I got to take in between? She said, I'll make sure you take the one in between so I don't have to worry about it. Everything's scheduled, all these schedules and appointments. We get ready for work, don't you? We get ready to go to the game. We get ready to go to bed. We get ready to get up. We get ready for supper. We get ready for the doctor. We get ready for church. Some of us even still get ready to go to Walmart. Are you alive? Some of them just look like they crawled out of the nut house, out of the bed. Curlers and all. Wadded up pajamas. I seen a girl the other day at the Unicoi Walmart, and she had on SpongeBob SquarePants pants. SpongeBob SquarePants pants. Pajamas. She had this rat nest twirled up on top of her head. It was, brother. It's a rat nest mixed with a bird nest. I didn't know what was in it. And she was wearing her house shoes. It looked like she didn't own a pair of shoes. Them things were so dirty, I believe she'd went mud riding and hunting in house shoes. And I was looking. And then, you know, you ever feel like somebody's watching you? I believe she had that feeling. And she looked over at me, and if you ever want to people watch and get a good laugh, go to Walmart. And if you get bored in Walmart, go to the mall. I carried a field trip of young people to the mall here a few weeks ago, and I was not disappointed. They said, don't you want to come in with us and go to the food court and eat something? I said, I'll be fine. I'm going to work my crossword puzzle, make some phone calls, and just sit. And I said, I'll get more pleasure out of sitting here, working my puzzle, and making phone calls than they will in the, and I wasn't disappointed. Brother, the things that come in and out of them doors at that mall, you can't make it up. Hollywood ain't got nothing on the mall, people. And they're not in costume. That's what they wear. During the height of the pandemic, when everyone was wearing masks, I met a feller in the Walmart that was wearing a dinosaur mask to protect him from COVID-19. I didn't know whether I should speak to him or run away saying, "It's Godzilla!" You see some crazy things in this life. He was prepared. He had got ready to go to town. That was his preparation. That was his protection. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is we make preparation. We get ready for things. But I want to know how many of us tonight are getting ready for the Lord to come back. How many of us tonight are trying to get our families ready and our neighbors, our loved ones, and our friends and co-workers? How many of us are working on getting the people around us ready to meet the Lord? If we're going to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," certainly we've got to make it plain to the people around us that we're serving God for a reason and making preparation for the day that He returns. Amen. The Bible says He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Are you ready for that? Are the people around you ready for that? And what are you doing about it if they're not? Yeah. What are we doing about that? Have we cried tears over those that we love that don't know Jesus? Do we realize what happens to lost people when they die? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about it? We see somebody in sin, we say, "Well, they reap what they sow." And I don't want my family and friends to reap what they've sown. I don't want to reap what I've sown. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to cover my sin. When I get to the pearly gates, when I get to heaven, I don't want God to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I want God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful. You've been faithful over a very little, but I'll make you ruler over much." I don't want anyone to come to God and God say, "I never knew you, depart from me, leave from my presence and die in everlasting torment." I don't want anyone I love to die and face the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Say, "Preacher, we don't want to hear that kind of preaching nowadays." I want to tell you something. That old-fashioned preaching brought in the masses years ago. It was the old-time King James Bible, the old redback singing like we've done tonight, and the true blue blood-bought Word of God that brought men to the altars by the millions and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. A lot of this new Johnny-come-lately stuff is what's sending people to hell in the first place because they never heard of the place. And whether we've heard of it or not, there is a place called hell. And I believe if men really believed that it was a burning somewhere underneath their feet, oh, it'd live a whole lot different, wouldn't you think? I believe if we really knew the horrors of that place called hell, that place prepared for the devil and his angels, I believe we'd take a stand for God a little stronger today than we do. I believe our testimony would be a little bit louder. I believe our shout would be a little bit higher. I believe our affection one for another in the church and our love for our pastors and our co-laborers in the field would be a little stronger tonight. I believe we'd sing a little louder if we really believed what we say we believe tonight. Would you say amen? Amen. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You're going to do it one day whether you're ready or not. When we were children, we used to play that game hide and go seek. And you'd go off somewhere in a corner and you'd hide and they'd say, "Ready or not, here I come." And one day Jesus, ready or not, the Father's going to say, "Son, go bring my children home." And then Jesus is going to come in clouds of glory. He'll break through the eastern sky. And a trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ready or not, here He comes. Now this sin business. Paul said in the book of 2 Thessalonians that they took pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you remember? He said they received not the love of the truth, but they took pleasure in unrighteousness. John said, because men's heart, they love darkness rather than light. Why? Because they're wicked. Their hearts, their deeds, their minds are evil. What did Jeremiah say about the heart? He said it was deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And these Johnny come lately say, follow your heart. Doesn't that sound pretty? That's so cute. Follow your heart. All falling. And in the South, we love the heart, don't we? Every time somebody does something stupid, we say, bless your heart. Every time somebody gets sick, we say, bless their hearts. Every time we hear of a trouble, oh, bless your heart. God loved their heart. Bless your heart. Someone says, will you pray for me? I'm struggling. Well, bless your heart. Folks, we ought to stop saying bless your heart and start praying for people. You know it. I'm just as guilty as you are, but my goodness. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Jesus must change the heart.
Yeah.
We need an operation. And lost men need that operation tonight. They believed the lie. The Bible said they received not the love of the truth. God said for that reason he would send them strong delusion. They will be and are deceived. They're deceived. I have people in my family who says, James, don't come to me with that religious nonsense. I'm a good person. God would never send me to hell. But the Bible says there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none, nobody, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to hear and know these things because that world out there needs to hear it. How are you going to share the gospel with somebody if you don't know what the gospel is? I had a deacon tell me one time, not at Trinity, but in times past, said, brother, we don't need to hear evangelistic messages in this church because everybody in here is saved. And I looked at him and I said, you believe that, don't you? Yes, I do. Everybody in this church is saved and we don't need to hear them. I said, you don't know the soul condition of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this congregation. And in the event that somebody is playing church, I wouldn't want that blood upon my hands. Amen. I'm going to preach the word of God. Amen. I want to serve you notice tonight, whether you fight it, kick it, cuss it, whether you like it, you're going to be accountable to God for your life. People say, pastor, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me. I'll tell you what, you're right, but that ought to scare you to death. If men really believed that God was going to judge them one day, I believe they'd shape up. You know, Esther used to tell Fred Sanford, said, shape up, you old heathen. You know that wins a lot of converts, don't you, when you walk around town and say, get right, heathen. It doesn't work that way, does it? Some of us think we've earned the right to live in filth apart from God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I've worked hard all my life. I'm grown. I believe I'll do as I please. I believe I'll take it easy. Don't believe I'll go to church anymore. I can read my Bible from home. That preacher doesn't know what he's talking about anyway. Believe I'll do things my way. You slip away from church, you slip away from prayer, you slip away from the Word of God, you slip away from the people of God, you slip away from God.
Yeah.
Sounds good though, doesn't it? I worked hard today. Believe I'll go out and enjoy me some ice cold beer. I've kept my mouth shut long enough about things. I believe today I'll just give everyone a piece of my mind. I tell Trinity all the time, it'd be a small helping. People say, I really can't afford it, but I've paid bills long enough. Believe I'll go out and enjoy myself a little while. Well, that's not quite the end of the story. In Luke 12 and 20, God said to the rich man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Well, the selfish man, he never saw that new barn, but he lifted up his eyes in hell, just as the man a few chapters later in chapter 16 found himself in torment, in flame. The drunkard on his way home from his ice cold beer after his long day of work lifted up his eyes in jail or in a hospital bed because of his condition. He was unable to drive and function. The big mouth who opened up his mouth lifted up his eyes alone and bitter, having run all of his friends away with his bitterness and anger. The spender lifted up his eyes in darkness because when you spend all the money you've got on Black Friday and don't pay the light bill, next Friday's going to be Black Friday too. When the light company turns off your power. Tonight, if you feel that you've earned the right to live outside of the will of God, I want to tell you something. Nobody is outside of accountability to God. And if you're living in sin and backslidden condition tonight, hear me well. God sees and knows everything about you. And while you're not accountable to me or Pastor Dan, you are accountable to him.
Amen.
When we were children, we used to sing the song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. Little hands, what you do." And then the older we get, we say, we become a bunch of little Frank Sinatras. "I did it my way." Life is not like Burger King. Can't have it your way all the time. You say, "I'm not paying taxes." They'll come after you. Say, "I'm not obeying the speed law." Patrolmen will come after you. Say, "I don't have to obey the policies of our government." They know where you live. You're going to listen to somebody along life's way. Why not make God number one? I believe the sad thing about this country's state of affairs today is we're more worried about offending everybody but God.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, I think God's been offended long enough. It's time we be offended for once.
Amen.
In the garden, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and the soldiers that came to take him, they came with weaponry, with troops to carry away the lowly man from Galilee. And he asked them, he said, "Why all of this fuss? Why all of this for me? I stood in the temple daily with you and spoke openly, and no one ever attempted, no one ever stretched out a hand against me." But in Luke 22 and verse 53, Jesus said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." That was their hour. That was their hour, but Sunday was coming. That was Herod's hour, but Sunday was coming. That was Pilate's hour. That was the Jews' hour. That was the scribes' hour. That was the Pharisees' hour, but Sunday was coming. That was the hour of them that cried, "Crucify, crucify," but Sunday was coming. That was the hour of Calvary and the old rugged cross and the power of darkness, but Sunday was coming. That was the hour of the Jews, of them which hated him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That was their hour, but Sunday was coming.
Amen.
Judas had his hour, he had his money, he had his moment, and then the time came when his lifeless body swayed in the wind at the end of a rope. That was his hour. And the power of darkness. And I'm telling you, it's the same today. The politicians, the crooks, the liberals, the baby killers, the homosexual agenda, the atheists, the false prophets, and these disgusting false preachers, this is their hour. This is their hour. And the power of darkness. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Fake news, CNN, liberal media, all the trash and the garbage that we've endured for so long now, this is your hour. Live it up, this is your hour. And the power of darkness, Jesus is coming. And you want to know something? Then it'll be his hour. And you won't put him to a cross this time. You'll put no crown of thorns upon his head. You'll hang him on no cross. He'll walk no lonely road and bearing the cross. But he'll come King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lion of Judah. He'll come overcomer, conquering. He'll rule with a rod of iron and the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. He said, "I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega. I was dead and I'm alive forevermore." And I want to ask you something tonight. This is the time of salvation. Say, "Preacher, I'm saved." You know lost people tonight. Every one of us. We always ask, when we pray, I'll say, "Unspoken request and lost loved ones." Usually we all raise our hands. You know why? We all have needs. We all have lost loved ones. Someone near you doesn't know Jesus. Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time for change. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Tonight is not too late, but tomorrow may be. Tomorrow may be the time of judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be the day you die. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be the day you lift up your eyes in hell. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. But today, I'm telling you one thing, it is a day of salvation. This time, this season, this is the opportunity to get ready. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. You hear that? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's going to be his day. This is our time and our opportunity. And I want to encourage you. I want to beg you this revival night. I want to ask you. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you're not. If you're not, I beg you to get saved. Receive Christ before you leave this building. Nothing matters more. Work doesn't matter. Your job, your career, your money, your finances, your dog, nothing matters. You got a hair appointment tomorrow? Doesn't matter. If you're lost, Jesus could come tonight and you could die and go to hell with ugly hair. Huh? Well, that'd just be adding salt to the wounds, wouldn't it? I didn't make my hair appointment. I'm in hell and I'm ugly. I stay ugly, so I know how you'd feel. But I want to encourage you tonight. You need Jesus, and you need to share Jesus with everyone you know.
Amen, brother.
Because tomorrow may be too late. You know, when we got saved, we all thought we could take on hell with a water pistol, didn't we? I mean, we was ready to go, fired up. Nothing could stop that Holy Ghost train, could it? We were wide open at one time. We wanted to tell the world. Jesus says, and as time goes on, the world creeps in. We get tireder. We go on a little further. We get war. We get busy. We get our schedule so consumed with us. Appointments, church, school, job, all the things that we consider important. But one day, just like that rich man, God's going to require our soul and the souls of those we love. What are we doing about it in this season? Would you stand with me tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, I bless your holy name. Thank you, Master, for this privilege, this opportunity, Lord, to stand before the congregation of the Liberty Fellowship Church. I thank you, God, for Brother Dan and his friendship. I thank you, Lord, for these other pastors that have come out tonight and their friendship, Lord. Each one of their prayers means so much to me. And I thank you for the opportunity to know these men. I thank you for the people, the congregation here at Liberty Fellowship tonight, those that came over from the Trinity Free Will Baptist Church. God, thank you for each one. I pray, Lord, that each one can take a portion of this message with them. Use it. Let it bless them and encourage them in the ways that you would have. God, I've done what you've asked me to do. And I ask, Father, tonight only this. If someone is watching or joining us tonight who is lost, pray that something has been said or done that plant a seed of conviction within their hearts. And second, God, I would ask that if someone tonight who is saved is not doing their part to spread this glorious gospel to those that need it most, I pray another seed of conviction be planted in their heart that they might fire it up tonight. May revival be that which picks them up and places them where they need to be, witnessing for you, telling and singing, shouting the good news to all who will hear. I pray you bless the final few moments of this service tonight, God. Should someone need to come forward, should someone need to come and pray and need to spend a few moments with you, I pray, God, you would minister to their heart, give them peace, comfort them, and bring them on. I know, Lord, if they would turn it to you, you said if any man would come unto you, you'd in no wise cast him out. Thank you, Master. Have your way now and during the invitation. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. While they sang, won't you come?